Truth News Network. When one side will crash an entire country to stop a sitting president's success, you know that politics isn't about the people anymore. But who's listening? You are to the Truth. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
And Dan Newman.
To be quite honest with you, we're all listening, we're watching, waiting on Washington, D.C. to lead us and tell us exactly what we're supposed to do. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman. Welcome to Truth News Network this Thursday morning. Before I even go further, let me just remind you, at 9 o'clock this morning, 9 a.m. Central, and for 2 hours, from 9 to 11 a.m. Central, listen. Make sure you listen to TNN Live. It's a two-hour talk show in which we deal with all of the details of everything going on in our nation around us, especially going on politically in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. How do you do it? Well, you come back right here, the homepage of truthnewsnet.org. And if you look on the upper right side, just below that city landscape in black and white, there's a button, a horizontal button that you click on. It says Listen Live, and it has the time on there, 9 to 11 a.m. Central. You'll join immediately that day's broadcast. It's just like a radio show if you hadn't been there. And we take phone calls on a toll-free line. We want to hear from you. As we've said often, this is your website. This is not ours. This is yours. And we want you to participate in it. Well, let's get right down to it. Today's story, Corona Lockdown. Is it legal or is it not? Hundreds of cars, trucks, and SUVs descended on Michigan State Capitol yesterday afternoon as part of a noisy protest against Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer's social distancing restrictions that critics say may have gone too far. They dubbed it Operation Gridlock, and it was organized by the Michigan Conservative Coalition. The protest did just that, creating bumper-to-bumper traffic throughout downtown Lansing, Michigan, as demonstrators blasted their horns, waved American flags, and hoisted placards deriding Whitmer's orders and demanding that she reopen the state's economy. Not only that, at last count, about 350,000 people had signed a recall petition to get her removed as governor. The lockdown measures are meant to curb the spread of the coronavirus outbreak, but Whitmer has gone further than some other governors, and the backlash in Michigan is among the most heated anywhere in the country. So let me ask you this. In your opinion, has Michigan's governor violated the constitutional rights of Michigan citizens? Well, we always say this, when in doubt, check the law. Let's do that right now. Benjamin Franklin once said that, quote, those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. But what would Franklin have given up to secure a lot of permanent safety to stop a highly lethal virus that has already killed thousands of people? What would he say about that? Like so much else in our world, his statement now faces a severe test. From what? From coronavirus. To save lives, all but 8 states have already imposed very aggressive measures, some more aggressive than others. Those measures have been rarely utilized outside of wartime. As the death toll continues to climb, more severe measures may be on the way. Several prominent voices have now advocated the imposition of a nationwide lockdown. A well-known legal academic even suggested a national lockdown should be immune from judicial oversight. That would be dramatic. And the Justice Department, not the courts, the Justice Department has proposed that Congress grant it oppressive emergency powers. While the coronavirus is no doubt frightening, so too is massive state power used in the name of emergency. We actually read yesterday that measure, that one sentence measure, I don't remember what they called it, but several members of the House wanted to put on record that they told President Trump that he does not have unilateral power. Well, all of those things are at top of mind in any time there's a national emergency declared. No one wants that emergency to be declared or anything about that emergency to be run or operated by one individual or just a small group of individuals. We should all be thankful that we live in the United States for many reasons, but especially right now. As an example, we could be stuck in Sri Lanka. You probably don't even know where Sri Lanka is. You know what? I don't either. But anyway, the government in Sri Lanka responded to coronavirus there by imposing a mandatory military curfew. They put people on the street with guns. You go outside, you may get shot. Authorities, in fact, arrested several thousand people for just leaving their homes during that curfew. Residents worried about whether they had enough food to last until the curfew lifted. Finding oneself in a situation like that in the United States is, at best, a frightening thought. Add to that the fact that if such a thing happens here, it will be the government of the freest country on earth that has taken away a slew of the most fundamental rights that have for 250 years been solely the right and responsibility of American citizens, and not Big Brother. In this country, we're taught to pause when asked to trade liberty for security. So we should stop for a moment to think about the legal restrictions governing potential lockdowns inside the United States. Yes, they sound like they'd be for a good cause, to stop the spread of coronavirus. But we need to put everything in balance and step back and take a breath and just think it through. Could the federal government or a state impose a Sri Lankan-style lockdown in the name of stopping this pandemic? Could the courts be excluded from overseeing such emergency action? Very salient questions. So, what does the Constitution say about all this? Well, constitutional law provides substantial guidance for understanding the government's authority to respond to this or any other pandemic. While court cases involving quarantines to control infectious diseases are thankfully sparse, lockdown in its various forms is a creature of what's called preventive detention. That's a restriction on physical liberty without finding of guilt after a criminal trial. Although the Supreme Court has stated that, quote, in our society, liberty is the norm and detention without trial is the carefully limited exception, end quote, our constitutional system has long recognized several forms of prevented detention as lawful. Most relevant, the state may preventively detain individuals who have a serious mental disorder and present a danger to themselves or others. That's pretty common. We're not talking about something like that now, though, are we? In general, any use of preventive detention authority raises three basic constitutional questions. First, does the state have substantive authority in this pandemic to detain someone or some people without a criminal trial? Second, is the state's exercise of that authority reasonable about its purpose? For example, are the length and conditions of confinement necessary to address the harm that is at issue? Third, has the state provided adequate procedures to ensure the detailed plans for the exercise of that authority are met for the particular individual or individuals involved? Just for a moment, let's just suppose the federal government orders that nationwide lockdown. If that happens, you can bet there will be thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of lawsuits and temporary restraining orders filed against all the authorities involved in that lockdown process. If someone were to challenge a lockdown order issued by the government, courts would apply the three principles we described above to decide that case. Because a lockdown order restrains physical liberty, the writ of habeas corpus gives courts the final authority to determine its legality. Almost everybody has heard the term used, habeas corpus, used often, but few know its meaning. Habeas corpus is a writ or a written piece of paper like a notice or some legal document requiring a person under arrest to be brought before a judge or into court, chiefly to secure the person's release unless lawful grounds are shown for their detention. In other words, a person can't be held for any alleged illegal activity or acts committed indefinitely. That person has a right to appear before a judge or in some court to determine whether being held without a speedy trial should be happening at all. Some have suggested that Congress should try to exclude the courts from even considering the lawfulness of a lockdown order. Boy, that would be a huge mistake for both practical and legal reasons. Can you imagine what that would look like, especially in certain parts of the nation? Practically, there's little risk that the judiciary, including the Supreme Court, which has already postponed oral arguments due to the pandemic, will underestimate the threat posed by a coronavirus. Courts have a vital role to play, both in ensuring any lockdown preserves our freedom to the greatest extent possible, and in reviewing alleged abuses on a case-by-case basis. So excluding the courts would also be an assault on our most basic constitutional values that could harm our nation forever in the future. Remember, courts operate in their determinations and their rulings based on precedent. In other words, how it was handled previously in courts. As awful as it is, the coronavirus pandemic will likely be over in a year or two at most, maybe just a few months. But a decision upholding the law permitting the government to imprison anyone without a court oversight based on the state's claims that the public health requires, it could be with us for far longer. And don't make any mistake about it. A lockdown is imprisonment by definition in law. The Constitution allows Congress to suspend habeas corpus in some instances of rebellion or invasion. But remember this, the coronavirus is not an invasion. Though people sometimes speak of a virus invading the body, the courts read the suspension clause in light of what the Constitution's framers believed it meant way back in 1789 when they wrote the Constitution. The framers intended to refer to invasions by people, not diseases, as Justice Antonin Scalia once made clear in a description of the historical precedents. And while he suggested there that the courts should choose a reasonable legislative judgment about when an invasion has occurred, the precedent Scalia made clear still stands today. Remember, long before coronavirus, President Donald Trump repeatedly called caravans of Central American refugees as an invasion. If the government tried to close the courts based on claims like that, you can bet the judiciary would undoubtedly step in quickly with their authority to prevent that radical step from happening. So this brings us to a question. How the heck are we going to handle a lockdown if one happens? Well, first, our legislators, House and Senate in Washington, should right now reach a consensus on what events must be present to justify a national lockdown. They must then, draft legislation to clarify existing laws as they pertain to this and other future pandemics that might result in a need for a lockdown to save the lives of people. In writing that, Congress should act quickly and as diligently and just speedily as Congress drafted those articles of impeachment and then tried the president. They should lock themselves away with constitutional scholars, put aside petty political partisanship, and draft legislation so specific and so detailed that no court would find any loopholes in what was written and passed. No loopholes because there's no place to see one. The point often stated that every bill signed into law is always subject to subjective interpretation needs to be abandoned in this process. For once, Congress must lay aside agendas of all but one kind to protect the American people and not just our health through a lockdown. Undoubtedly, doing so is a necessity. Finding political advantage is not. All members of Congress need to lay aside political party and personal agendas to pass legislation to protect from this and other pandemics while, at the same time, guaranteeing Americans that the rights of all citizens will not be infringed by such legislation. Can they do that? Yeah, I believe they can. I'm not sure how many attorneys serve as members of the House and Senate today, but you and I both know it's certainly a majority. There's a whole bunch of lawyers on Capitol Hill. Don't you think all those lawyers, if committed to writing such legislation that's void of partisanship, could get the job done quickly if they want to? Of course, in the group that's reading this story or listening to this podcast today, someone will put another if in an added question. It would then read like this, ... if the pandemic was a trick of nature and not an effort by someone to create chaos and pandemonium during the election year to guarantee there will not be a second Trump term in office. In other words, they could do it if they hadn't somehow wanted this pandemic and done a few things, or maybe not done a few things, because they wanted this to be Trump's Achilles heel regarding the November election. You know what? Today, I don't care about any of that. Let's get coronavirus licked and do it without unnecessarily giving up any of our constitutional rights, period. And if we want to, we can get it done, folks. We're Americans. We can get it done. The freest country on the planet needs to stay that way. Don't you agree? Hey, thanks for joining us here today. We're glad you're with us every day. Don't forget, 9 o'clock, not long from now, 9 a.m. Central, we'll be on the air live with TNN Live, 9 to 11. Don't you dare miss it. We'll see you then. Until that time, have a great day.
In a world of fake news, social media disinformation, and aggressive deception, be part of the solution. Talk to Dan. Be a part of the Truth News Network. Go to the homepage at truthnewsnet.org. This is TNN.